Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Monday, July 11th, 2011, episode 181, sponsored by Omega Alpha. Good morning, Horse World.
Hey, girls, it's a Monday.
There's something wrong with us, something very, very wrong with us.
But it's still Monday. Time to ride. Time to ride. It's time to ride.
Ooh, yeah. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Jamie.
Good morning, Glenn. It's Monday. Woo-hoo.
I know. I'm kind of feeling like it's a Monday today. It's kind of one of those Mondays. And then I look at Facebook this morning, and I see you had another haboob, which, by the way, I keep wanting to call haboobie for some reason. But so you had another haboobie over the weekend?
We had a haboobie. You know what's funny is Chad and Chad's home. Yay, my husband's home.
Oh, I got home. Oh, good. You'll
such
be a happier
relief.
Girl now. We won't have to listen to you whine all week.
No whining for at least a couple days. So he gets home, and they apparently had to fly. I mean, they flew their F-16s home. So they apparently had to fly in and around a lot of different storms. And as they come in, you know, they land and everything, and we start to drive home. We're in two separate cars. And he calls me, and he's like, just drive fast. Do not stop. And I was like, what's going on? What are you talking about? Well, the photo that I posted, which I don't know if you can repost it on the Horses in the Morning page, was actually on our street. And we are probably about 10 houses from home. And it was this wall of dust coming right at us. Now, it wasn't going nearly as fast as the one from last week, but it was this huge wall of sand just coming directly at us. So we get in there. Pull in the driveway. I'm like, you go get the horses. I'll go get the chickens. Get the dogs. Close the gate. It was like this crazy mad dash for really
it's
no reason.
It's just like on Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, make sure the horses have their fly mask on. I'm going to go get the chickens because the chickens are, one of them still injured. And so I wanted to bring her inside into the dog crate. So here my husband walks in. We've got the horses in the stalls, the chickens in the house, the dogs are like, this is how I've been living, honey.
Welcome home.
Sorry. Yeah, welcome home. Good to be here. So the haboob did dump a lot more sand into our eyes and our noses and our pool, but it was not nearly as bad as the last one. So it wasn't tremendously terrible.
I think from what I read, the winds were a little quieter on this one. They were only like 30,
yeah.
40 miles an hour instead of 60.
Yeah.
Now you
feel
guys
like
you're in the middle of monsoon season, which is why you're having these problems, right?
Correct. That is correct. I thought monsoon season was in August, though, so it's kind of started a little bit early. And monsoon is like the only time we get rain throughout the year. So,
and there, you know, when we went to Vegas, we did some hiking up in the Red Rock Canyon above Vegas, and they tell you do not hike in the swales there because if there is a thunderstorm upriver. This dry swale, you'll get washed away. You won't even know anything about it until the wall of water hits you. And from what I read, They were having some of those types of monsoon rains in the southern part of Arizona right now.
Yeah. It's been crazy. It certainly has, but, you know, I don't care, my husband, Tom.
Well, I'm posting the picture on Facebook right now of your sandstorm picture. So people will be able to go to our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning and check that out. We had a good weekend. We had a lot of fun this weekend, did some stuff that we want to tell you all about. So let's go to Jennifer and find out what's coming up on today's show.
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, it's all about Glenn.
It is?
We begin with Glenn's BFF, that would be Beautiful Furry Favorite Pony. Ann Hill will be here from Baroque Farm, and she'll be telling us all about the Dale's pony. You may recall that Glenn, when he takes his driving lessons up there at Gala, drives a Dale's pony named Rosie. So we're going to find out the skinny on these chubby ponies. Thereafter, Glenn will be updating Jamie and the rest of the world about the amazing adventure that is the Horse Radio Network, all kinds of cool new stuff coming up on the network. And somewhere amongst the fray, Jamie will bring us up to date with the much-anticipated dramatic reading of Black Beauty.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Jenna.
My favorite part. Thank you.
I have a couple Daily Winnies today. The first one goes out over the weekend. Our friend Abby Good, who called in last week, we're all voting for her. She had a birthday, so happy birthday, Abby. Didn't she say she was 16 turning 17? Well, I think she just turned 17. So happy birthday, Abby. And we hope you had a good birthday over the weekend. I have another one. And we have another new affiliate, the Laredo blog at laredo.com/blog. They're the ones that do the software to keep track of your farm and your if you have a boarding facility and things like that. And she has now added Horses in the Morning to her blog. So you can actually listen to our show right off of the Laredo blog. And we'll talk more about how you can add our show to your website a little bit later on, as well as I have a bunch of changes that are coming to the Horse Radio Network. And you're going to want to hear about those a little bit later on. And I have a late-breaking one before we get to yours, Jamie. There is a late-breaking Daily Winnie. This email just came in from Ann Svensson, who you gave a shout-out to, I think, on Friday, didn't you? Was it Friday? From Sweden?
Yes. Poor girl. She's suffering.
She sent us an email, and what caught my eye, this always catches my eye, was the subject line. It says, "Gifts to my favorite hosts." By the way, if you want to get me to read your email, because I get about a million a day now, if you want to get me to read your email, just put "gifts to my favorite hosts" in the subject line. Guaranteed I'm going to read your email. And she says, "Hi, Glenn and Jamie. Peter is in Detroit now," that's her husband, "and I sent him with two T-shirts I want to give to my favorite morning show host." And she wants to know where she can send them. Well, Ann, we're going to send you our addresses because we want them. So we're going to be sending you those off, our addresses off this morning, so that Peter can make sure we get our T-shirts from the Svensson Ranch, home of Wally and Pinocchio.
That's nice. That is very nice. And just to let you know that I thought you were going to mention her Facebook post that she just posted, because she says that her husband's now gone. "As the first day without a horse husband, the next door farmer helped me bale the hay, but they're still on the field. He accidentally opened the pasture and the colts got out and they were running around farm. Then she cut her finger and then she didn't feed the chickens. So, girl, I feel your pain. Sisters from another mother."
I actually met Ann and the whole family when they were in for the World Equestrian Games. They came down to the IEF where we were recording our shows, and actually spent a whole show with us. And her daughter is a Rainer in Texas. So Anne's a nice lady. We enjoy having her as a listener for sure. All right, let's get to your Daily Winnie.
I'm going to keep it to one because I'm starting to get sick of the music. This one goes out to Chris, Cowboy Chris. with Horse Ride for Heroes, where did he start out his journey? Was it in Texas?
I think it was in Texas, yeah.
Yeah, he decided to ride from Texas all the way up to New York. New York City, to raise money for kids with cancer. Well, he made it. He did it. This past weekend was the NYPD and Port Authority in New York were awesome. So he did get help from the police department.
Well,
but thank
great.
You so much to everyone who helped us out. The crossing at the George Washington Bridge this morning, Chris made it. Well, good, yay, congratulations. I know they raised a lot more. Thank you. I know they raised a lot more money than they had even anticipated, and I think he met some ladies along the way, so he's not going to be hurting for dates. I mean, the guy's in good shape. so that's really
he's
cool.
He's not married, right? Just check.
No, I don't believe so. If he is, he won't be for long. No, just kidding. I'm only guessing here. I'm just saying. I have no confirmation on any of this information. So anyway, back to the horses. We get in trouble. Jen, I have to ask, because you guys had a very horsey weekend. I know you went and saw a dressage show, which Darcy, the woman who owns your farm, rode in, and also Reese Koffler Stanfield, one of our favorite dressage riders ever, was in. But then I heard you went fox hunting, Jen?
Well, yeah, more accurately, I rode out with the hounds. It's not technically hunting right now because the hounds are not asked to find a scent and go chase it. It's what they refer to as hound exercise. Some places call it roading. And the huntsman and the whip take the pack of hounds. I think we had about 25 couples. It was a heap of them there. And they just ride around the countryside to give them lots of exercise to get them fit so that they're ready for fox hunting season. And had about a dozen people there. Darcy was very kind to let me borrow her rig and get down there. And Beaker was a rock star. It was his very first time out with the hounds. He'd never done it before. And anybody who's ever taken a new horse out with the hounds knows that you can have the quietest horse on God's green earth, and you expose them to 50 or so loose, milling about, making a racket, smelly canines, and it can be a completely different horse in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can have a really quiet horse just lose their cookies instantly. But he was a rock star. He figured it out right away. But boy, oh, boy, it was up at Shakertown. There were at the Shaker Village State Park, which is about 1,000, 1,500 acres, something like that. It's a very large area. And where the kennel is located, where we started at, you cannot see any evidence of civilization in any direction. It's very remote feeling. And very hilly. I was tired after the first 15 minutes.
Ask Jennifer how quickly she got out of bed yesterday morning, Jamie.
What'd you say, Glenn?
I said, ask Jennifer how quickly she got out of bed yesterday morning.
Oh, my gosh, that was tough. I was so sore.
Oh, so you rode on Saturday.
I went out on Saturday, yes. So it was a double whammy weekend. I went out on Saturday. I had to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I got home at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, all for an hour and 15 minutes worth of riding.
But that's what it's for. That's what makes it worth it. That's awesome. So when you're riding out with the hounds, because I've hunted a couple times, and usually the hounds are not going at a nice quiet walk. The hounds are going, you know, breakneck speeds, which you have to keep up with them. So then in turn, you are going at breakneck speeds. Were you flying around, or was it a nice quiet hack in the woods?
In this particular instance, it's not a quiet pace. The hounds move along. At the very slowest, they're moving at a good fast trot.
Uh-huh.
And so it was mostly fast trotting and a little bit of galloping. And then about halfway through, they take a break and they let the hounds all mill around and do what hounds do. In this case, we stopped at the base of one of the hills. There's a very large pond. There was about a half-acre pond. And I have never seen this before in my life. The hounds went out and swam in the pond, not just milling around in the mud like they usually do. They were swimming. The only thing that stuck up were their big fat ears and their nostrils. It was awesome.
Man, they're going to be some fit hounds, that is for sure. But
can you imagine what
that
must smell like on the way home, though? 50 wet canines.
And they're not known for getting baths on a regular basis anyway.
They're not. Well, Jamie, no, they're not house pets.
No. Have you ever been down to Shaker Village when you lived here? Did you go down to Shaker Village?
No, I never went.
Oh, it is that area of Kentucky. It's very rural, and it is beautiful. But Jennifer's right. It's nothing but hills. And I can imagine the kind of riding that she did. Beaker and her, Beaker, she said Beaker was pretty tired, too. But, you know, Beaker likes when you're going out for trail rides to be the leader of the pack. Well, I was a little concerned. You know, fox hunts really look frowned upon you passing the guy in the red coat. That's not a good idea.
Yeah.
Or the hounds. Especially, really, going in front of the hounds to chase the fox is not good either. So we were a little concerned that Beaker would want to do either one of those, but she didn't,
He was, he was good. Once he got the knack of it, he figured, well, I'll just take the lead. I can do this. And I said, no, can't do that. And he figured it out real quick. We had one little thing at the very beginning, because you never start out at a gentle walk when it comes to any fox hunting activity.
Yeah.
It always starts out, whoosh, down the road. And we were on macadam. And he doesn't wear Boreum on his shoes. He just has regular Fullard plates on his feet. And he kept wanting to rush along and catch up with everybody, and he was supposed to be in the back. As a guest, we get to ride in the back. And so at one point, I kind of had to slam the brakes and lock him up, so to speak. And he skidded for about 4 feet on his little shoes, and they went, oh, it's slippery here. But, you know, the
bless
weirdest part for me
heart.
With him, I'm used to riding horses that have a English riding background, and Beaker doesn't. He was ridden Western his whole life before he came to us. So whenever we come to obstacles, particularly washouts and streams and gullies, which there are a lot of, there are around every turn out there at Shaker Village, they leap over them. You leap, right? He doesn't. He slogs through them.
Well,
oh, no.
He puts a foot in every hole, every rock, every stream. I'm ready for the big leap, and it just doesn't happen.
He was a cross-country trail riding horse before, so he's just used to, you just go through it.
You just slog through, and, you know. But he was an absolute rock star. He figured out by the end of the day that when you're you cruise along and you go hell-bent for election, and then you stop rather suddenly, and then you do it again. It's very crazy. There's no need to hurry, because the guy in front of you that's now 30 yards ahead, you'll be catching up to him momentarily, because he's going to come screeching to a halt. So he got that all figured out, and we had a grand old time, and can't wait to do it again.
So if you were to take Beaker up to a ditch jump where they're supposed to jump the ditch, he would actually probably climb into it and then climb out like a sunken road?
More than likely. Step down in, walk across, step back out.
Yep.
What horses do?
I'm not supposed to jump.
Now, she did say that her little quarter horse, Beaker, got a lot of compliments from those ladies riding those big thoroughbreds and warm bloods, huh?
Did. He was very good, and I had several of the ladies who were out with us that day said, what a lovely horse. And then the next sentence out of their mouth is, how big is he?
He's a little guy.
Yeah. But, you know, when we get into trappy country, I don't have to duck near as much as everybody else.
That's true.
Fly right through the woods.
That is true.
I don't have to duck.
I was so happy because she had to work to figure it all out to get there this weekend, and I know there's nothing, as you can tell in her voice, there's nothing Jennifer likes better than fox hunting. So.
Oh, that's so great. Well, I'm so excited you got to go do that. I'm so excited that Beaker got to get out. And, you know, that's the thing about owning a horse is and traveling with it is you never know what your horse is going to do. When that moment you take them off the trailer, they get that fourth foot out, they step down on the ground, and they look around. And you just never know what you're going to have when you go to a new place. And I find that the more and more and more places they go, the more they realize, I better just save my energy, because this means she's going to ride me very hard, and this is going to suck.
She's going to ride me to death.
Yeah, exactly. We've traveled somewhere. That means I'm going to get my butt kicked. However, they don't know that at the beginning. And so it's always a challenge to get them somewhere new and just wonder what kind of horse you're going to have. I got to take both my horses up to a girlfriend's of mine up in not Flagstaff, Prescott this weekend, which is up northwest of Phoenix, I guess.
Where
it's cooler? I can tell you, I got there on Friday afternoon and it was raining and 65 degrees.
Mm.
It was fantastic. It was so great. So I took my warm blood and my thoroughbred and got it there and kind of had the same experience you did, where you just kind of are so excited to go somewhere and do something, and the fact that the weather was nicer. And then so I couldn't ride them Friday night because it was pouring, but Saturday morning was beautiful. And so I did what you like to do, which is you like to go fox hunting. I like to gallop around anywhere by myself. So I took my horses, and they have mountains, like huge hills on this farm. And my friend Misa, it's her farm. And so I just bring my horses up and go ride up her hills all the time. It's about a three-hour drive. I galloped my horses, my warm blood uphills, just until he was ready to drop. But he loves it. And he throws every ounce of his being into galloping up a hill. It is his favorite thing. It's like, you better grab some mane by his pole, because he's going to dump you off the back of him. He's going to run so fast. So, Jennifer, I decided to take my thoroughbred, who, if you know, he was quite the dramatic rescue case, and he's now doing his first horse trial this coming weekend. So I thought, well, let me see how he does going up the hills. Realizing that probably, you know, he's never been up a hill. He was a racehorse, then he was a match racehorse in the desert, then he was in jail, and then he's at my farm, which is flat as can be. So the horse has never seen a hill. But he's a racehorse. I figure he'll get right on into it and just gallop up the hill. Can I tell you that my thoroughbred, who was so excited before that, almost dumped me twice because it's cold and it feels really good and it's beautiful and he's excited. That sucker walked slower than my grandmother up that hill. I could not get him to even trot. And we did the hill three times, thinking at some point he's going to figure out that going faster is easier. I had to absolutely kick, 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 a thoroughbred. Have you ever had that happen before, Jennifer? Where they're like, yeah, no, I'm not going to do this. Nah, this is too hard. Nah, I'm good.
You know, I have on thoroughbreds that I've done that with when they were out by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of the thoroughbreds I've had that were off the track, their motivation came with the group.
Wow.
Yeah, and I had one that it didn't matter what you did with him or how many horses there were or weren't. He was just 90 miles an hour all the time. But most of them, if they were alone, they were pretty like, okay, this is cool. We'll just chug along yeah, we're good. There's nobody out here.
It was amazing. I mean, he had no desire to run up to the top of the hill. So at least we got some good walk hill work done.
What did he do on the way back down the hill?
Well, he had no idea how to, like, put his butt underneath him and
walk
down.
Down the hill is much harder for them.
Yeah, so we just kind of zigzagged and took it easy, and he finally figured that part out about, you know, after sliding halfway down the mountain.
He's like, Fanny sliding out from under him.
Yeah, he was, you know, like running on his forehand all the way down the hill. So it was definitely an exciting challenge to get him down the hill, but I really thought he would be a little more excited about going up the hill, but nope, nothing. I needed spurs to get my horse to gallop up a hill, and I didn't have any. So I'm so glad we both had good horsey weekends and went and did stuff we like, even though my horse wasn't as excited about it. And I'm just excited that Beaker was so quiet and good.
I was just thrilled to death, because, like I said, I knew he had lots of trail experience, but the whole, when you add in those hounds, it can be a completely different experience. And he's going to have to get out probably half a dozen more times, and then he'll know. Because for me, when you go out with the hounds, I like having a horse that I can just sit there and enjoy myself, and he knows what his job is. I still have to actually tell him, okay, we have to slow down right here before we get within 10 feet of that butt in front of us.
And he listens?
Oh, he does, but I was glad to have the Pelham on. because I don't, again, I don't like to pull at them. I like to be able to pick up the reins and say ho and then just let go of them again, because if they've got their head, they can really pick their way through the trappy country much, much better than if I've got them all jacked up. And I can't hold tight on the reins anymore because of old eventing issues. I'm not sound.
Injuries.
Old injuries don't allow me to have contact on the reins anymore. But just he could not have been any better. He loaded himself into the trailer. He unloaded himself. Aww. I was just, yay, Martha, thanks for letting me have Beaker.
That's great. And Beaker, of course, is a result of a Craigslist ad not gone wrong.
He's a very good Craigslist ad.
It was a well-written Craigslist ad.
Exactly. It was advertised properly as opposed to our really bad ads that we have. Yeah. By the way, send those. But, hey, before we get to our first guest, Glenn, and do our commercial and all that, can you tell everybody what Helene and I did on Friday?
You should probably tell it, but you've been working on this for a long time. Jamie's been working on getting an interview set up. We haven't covered much here on the Horse Radio Network, the whole Mustang issue, partly because it's such a quagmire, and we really didn't want to cover it half-assed. We really wanted to go right to the top when we started talking about the Mustang issue. And for the morning show, for the most part, you know, and even Jamie will agree with this, for the morning show, for the most part, it's like too serious for us. Unless we could get this one guest, and Jamie worked her butt off to get this one guest, and
tell them that I said I want to talk about the Mustangs, and you said unless you get this person on, we're not talking about it. So
right.
Challenge accepted.
And you succeeded. So you and Helena on Friday got to do a. You were so stoked, both of you, about this interview, and so you can tell everybody who it was.
We got to sit down and talk to Madeline Pickens, who is an absolutely amazing woman. I mean, she's done things that you can't even imagine how big of a heart this woman has. She's the woman that, let's see, backing up to horse rescue, she's actually rescued horses from Japan and flown them over on her own dime to put them at Best Friends Rescue. She has... When Hurricane Katrina hit, her and her husband gave $7 million to the Red Cross. $7 million to the Red Cross. And also, she ended up hiring airplanes to fly homeless animals out of New Orleans all the way out into to other rescues around the country. She is the one who recently purchased almost 1 million acres to make a place for the Mustangs to live, because the slaughter issue has become a big problem. She's, you know, working with the Congress and everything to get all this stuff passed and to get the animals taken care of. But as of now, she bought, you know, and has rights to almost 1 million acres, I think, in New Mexico. And she's going to make what they call Mustang Monument. She's like, fine, if you don't have room for the Mustangs, bring them to my place and turn them out. And let's educate the public about it. She's this phenomenal woman anyway. So we got to sit down and talk to her we talked to her for over 40 minutes, and we probably asked her 4 questions. She's just so passionate about what she does, and she's so passionate about the animals and the horses and her rescue dog that was sitting on her lap during the interview. And it was funny because all 3 of us ladies all had dogs surrounding us during the interview, and it, separate times, all 3 of our dogs started barking.
I heard that. I did hear it. I got to listen to the interview, and I did hear that. That was kind of funny.
Yeah, it was awesome. So,
I would say you guys did a terrific job with the interview. We're going to play it in 2 parts because it is over 40 minutes long, which was remarkable, first of all, that you got her to be with you for that long. Most of the interviews I've heard with her are, you know, 10, 15 minutes. So you really did get more in-depth than I've heard in most of them. And they're going to play Thursday and Friday morning here on Horses in the Morning, first part on Thursday, second part on Friday. And then we're going to play the whole thing, its entirety, on the Stable Scoop show this week, which comes out on Friday. And I was really glad that Helena was able to do that with you, because she's been wanting to talk to her too. And the passion that all 3 of you have came across in that interview for sure.
Well, you know, it's one of those interviews where you will laugh out loud and you will definitely maybe cheer up a little bit, because she actually kind of cornered me at one point and talked to me about my husband, and she's a big supporter of the military, and with Chad gone and everything, I was teetering on the overly emotional level anyway, especially after talking to her about everything. Anyway, yeah, I got a little squishy at the end.
I'll tell you what, it almost had me tearing up at the end too. I think she caught everybody off guard. So you're right, there was laughter to tears in this particular interview. Good job, by the way, you and Helena both. Kudos out to both of you. You did a great job with it. And the listeners will get to listen to it on Thursday and Friday. So that'll be coming up.
And of course, this is the next one in our Woman's Hope series. So if you have more people that you would like us to talk to, more women who are inspiring people, definitely send me an email, jamie@horseradionetwork.com, and send us an email about what woman you find inspirational and amazing and, you know, passionate about something to do with horses, and we'd like to talk to them. I've got a couple emails, and I'm working on a couple other ones, so we'll keep this series going. It was a lot of fun, and she's just a class woman. I mean, just as classy as they come.
All right, thank you so much. That's coming up Thursday and Friday. Well, this show today is sponsored by Omega Alpha, and this ad is this commercial is actually thanks to John at EventingNation.com. He caught up with event writer Rebecca Howard at an event recently in Canada and put this little audio together about her use of Omega Alpha products. And, of course, Omega Alpha has all the natural supplements that you're going to want for your horses, and you can find it at OmegaAlpha.ca. Let's take a listen to this, and then we're going to come back. You know, last week when I got to take my first driving lesson over at Gala Farms over there with Sterling, I got to drive a Dale's pony. Dale's ponies have been my favorite forever. I've always wanted a Dale's pony. And then we got to see one in the wild over the weekend, I'll tell you about too, which is pretty unusual. So, by the way, in the wild, I don't mean in the woods. I meant at the horse show. You know what I mean? All right. Well, let's listen to John talk to Rebecca Howard about Omega Alpha, and we'll be right back.
We are at the Bromont three-day event in Bromont, Canada, and this is Rebecca Howard, who is currently leading the two-star division, and Rebecca is an Omega Alpha rider. What's your favorite thing about Omega Alpha, Rebecca?
My favorite thing is mostly the horses love it so much. I know they're getting it all because they love to eat it up. I feel like it comes in liquid form, so it just, I think, feels like it gets absorbed quicker in their body. But mostly it's because they just love it.
Cool. And what's your favorite product?
I say the Gastro FX. It's the one I use the most of. And we use it in their feed and before a ride or before shipping.
Okay. And what's the success story that you've had with using one of their products with your horses?
I started using it pretty religiously, I guess, 2 years ago. I mostly with the Riddle Master horse, just managing his stomach ulcers and all that. He's within that time, he's just become more consistent in eating and being happy, and just his whole overall temperament is more consistent. So that was probably enough.
Cool. Well, thank you, Rebecca, so much, and good luck the rest of the weekend.
Great. Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Well, I guess that the commercial is over.
Sorry, I forgot to take myself off hold.
Glenn's left the building.
I was getting coffee, so
here we are, all prepared this morning. It's Monday.
Monday.
All right.
All right. Well, introduce your guest, because this is a big deal for you. This is very exciting, and you got to take a driving lesson and drive Dale's ponies the other day, which really I haven't heard a whole lot about. So I'm going to sit back and learn today.
All right. I got to drive a Dale's pony. I posted pictures on our Facebook page. If you scroll down, you'll find them, or go to the pictures section, you'll find me driving Rosie. And it was so cool. She is such a good pony and so forgiving of my stupidity. I was so happy about that. So I can really attest to them putting up with crappy drivers. I can attest to that. But yesterday we went to this show, a little dressage show, not too far from here in Lexington. And, well, first thing that happens, I get there and Reese Coffler Stanfield sees me and yells over, How'd they get you to come out to a dressage show? That's the first thing I heard. So then beside us, in the trailer beside where Darcy was set up, there was a Dale's pony. And it's rare to see them. They're rare breed, but she was riding this little Dale's pony, about 14. He is cute as the dickens. And they look like little Frisians, little draft horses. But we're going to learn more about them from Anna Hill, who has Baroque Farm, and she is a breeder of Dale's ponies. Is going to tell us all about them. And we'll find out. Good morning, first of all, Anna.
Good morning.
It's good to have you on. As you can tell, I'm kind of passionate about Dale's ponies. I want to own one of these days. But now, do you know Rosie, the one I drove out at the gala?
I do. I do know Rosie. I know a little bit of history about Rosie, where she came from, because we have a couple of ponies that are related to her.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, Rosie's looking, let's say she eats well nowadays. And
yes. She's a good keeper. Yeah, most of them are quite easy. They kind of keep on air.
Yeah, and you know, they look like little draft horses, so they're stocky to begin with. And then if they're a few pounds overweight, they kind of look a little chunky.
Right,
right.
Yeah. I've got a couple that have that problem.
Can you tell us a little bit about the history, where they came from, and what the story is with them?
Sure. They're from the northeast of England in the area of the Eastern Pennines, which is a mountain range that runs along the Scottish border. And they were originally bred for packing iron out of the mines to shore. They would trot 22 miles with 240 pounds of lead on their backs from the actual ore mines all the way to the shoreline and back every day.
Wow. Thus their stocky nature.
Correct, yes. And the very active trotting that they have to them was actually bred into them for that same reason.
Now, so they were used as pack animals, really, and when did they become a riding critter? At what point?
It was after the war. After World War II, there was actually quite a few of them used in the war, and after the war, there was only 12 ponies left in existence.
Wow.
And from that, they've bred, I think the current value of the ponies is probably, I think there's 2,300-something worldwide. And after the war, they were actually used for the local farmers to farm their small acreage high in the hills where the big draft horses couldn't work. So that's kind of where they went from there. And then from that, the local drivers would use them everywhere from, you know, taking milk into town to riding amongst their sheep herds. They actually would tend their sheep herds and carry things up to the mountains to their sheep herds as well. So they were kind of used there. In England, they're known as the great all-rounder because they use them for every little thing they can think of, every use they would have from farm to town.
And they stand about usually 14 to 14.2, somewhere in that range, right?
Right, and about 900 to 1,200 pounds.
And are they all black or are there grays too?
There's actually four different colors that are allowed. There's black, bay, gray, and then there's the occasional roan.
Because I've seen the black ones. And, of course, I'm partial to black horses anyway. So probably.
Yeah, I'd say the blacks are more traditional and more often seen. The grays are getting a little bit more popular. There are a few bays in this country, not very many. And the roans are kind of odd to see. But we have one of every color except the roans. I'm not a big admirer of the roans. So.
Yeah, I got to tell you that I just love the black ones. And they do look like, if we're going to compare them to something, I guess you could say, and I hope I don't offend anybody, that they look like little Frisians. They kind of do look like little Frisians because they have the hair and the manes and the tail and.
They totally look like little Frisians. Yeah, they're like a little miniaturized version.
That's what we actually get that everywhere. We take our stallion to a lot of breed demos and such, and we always get that. No matter where we go, he always gets followed saying, "Oh, my God, is that a little mini Frisian?" But I think there's only difference with the Dales to the Frisians. They're a little bit more compact in the body, but their movement is a little bit different as well. when you actually see them get going. We call them active on all fours, meaning they're a little bit more even in the fact that their hocks and knees move kind of simultaneously and usually the same height. They're really active movers with the front as well as the rear. They track a little bit more up underneath themselves a little bit differently than a Friesian. So,
because I would think Friesians have very high knee action in the front, but they kind of keep their hind end a little bit more behind them maybe. So
right.
Does that mean that Dale's ponies would be pretty good at dressage, like better than average because they're so up underneath themselves?
I think for the most part, we haven't had that many in this country used for dressage. Mostly what's being used of the Dale's ponies is in the driving world here in the States. But they have in England been used a lot for dressage and jumping. And they're actually really, as big as they are, people think that they would be cumbersome. But they're very athletic and they're very light on their feet for the most part because they really tracked up with that hind end.
And you can tell how light they are on their feet if you go to her website at baroquefarm.com, and we'll post a link on our Facebook page. When you see some of the pictures of some of these ponies all the way up in the air.
Yeah, that my stallion, actually, that's the funniest thing, because when I first brought him over from England, we would get that everywhere. What can these ponies, you know, be used for? They're so heavy looking and, you know, they're not very athletic looking. So the first picture I took of him was him jumping straight in the air. All 4 feet was above the top of my gate. And he was a yearling. And I put this on the internet saying, okay, this doesn't show athleticism. These ponies are very athletic. And since then, he's won a bunch of photo awards just from those photos that we take randomly when I'm at, you know, I'm outside playing with him. He'll do these leaps in the air. So he's very, very athletic.
By the way, Jamie, something you do not want them to do when they're in the cart. Not a go.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, that wouldn't look well.
Awesome. Those are awesome. We got to post at least one of those online right now, Glenn.
And personality-wise, you know, at least Rosie, who is the only one I've really gotten to drive and work with, she was such a sweetheart, so forgiving, and just, you know, went with the flow. She was like the best ponies I've ever driven. Are they all really, do they have that constitution?
A good many of them are like that, yes. Very, very good citizens, you know, just real forgiving of most things. There's a couple of the lines in the ponies that are a little bit, I don't want to use the word hotter because that people tend to put a negative connotation on that, but are a little bit more refined and a little bit tuned that are, I don't want to say not forgiving, but just a little bit more on their toes. So for the most part, I would say yes, but they're the occasional one that's a little bit, you know, more for an advanced rider or driver.
That's true of any breed, though. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
I would say. But, you know, we get, just because of the way they look, we get a lot of people that think they're what we call granny packers, which I would say is not necessarily the main theme for them. They're a little bit more forward than a lot of the heavier type of ponies. So.
Well, the other thing I noticed, obviously, they have the feathers and everything, you know, so that's what also gives them the look of the Friesians. But one of the things I noticed for a pony is that they have big feet for a pony.
Yes, they do. Yeah. They're actually known for their feet and their legs. They have the big, thick bone and the heavy joints, but they have a really wide berth on a foot, like a draft horse foot.
Yeah, I would say you're full grown ones, not the babies or anything. So what size shoe do they wear?
Well, none of mine are shod actually. This breed is known for its healthy feet, and we don't, unless they're going out on the road, which we don't do a whole lot with ours, none of mine are shod at all. Their feet stay really good constitution in riding everyday use. So we prefer natural horse hoof care. And that's just not one of the things we do. We don't shoe them. But the farrier, I have a draft horse farrier that does their feet, and he is in love with their feet. So we get that every time he comes out. They have such awesome feet. And I said, yeah, well, it's something they've been bred for the last century. So they've worked heavy on the way the foot is actually made.
Well, Annie, I guess if they were hauling very heavy loads, 200 and some pounds, you know, all the time, that's one of the things they needed was those big, heavy feet.
Right, right.
Huh.
And
cool.
They stay pretty sound on those feet all throughout their lives. The only problem that we actually have with these ponies is, as anything in any breed, people tend to want to overfeed them, and the laminitis is really the only issue that kind of swamps them, as people tend to make things easy for them to get in food because they're used to sustaining themselves on little or nothing.
It's a pony thing.
Yeah,
right?
That's right.
You know, I mean, how many people, I mean, it's not just a pony thing. I mean, ponies just seem to be so much more susceptible to laminitis, obviously, but just people love to feed their animals. And, you know, I tell them, I said, you never see a fat old horse. You just
right.
don't. There's, I mean, just like people, you don't see, you know, a 350-pound, 90-year-old woman, you know, you don't see
right.
that. So you have to take care of them, you know, throughout their entire life, not let them get in that heavy, obese way, because you're setting them up for a disease that you know is going to happen when they're
right.
overweight like that. So, yeah, it's definitely a big challenge, especially with ponies, because like Frankie Lovato, who comes on our show, you just feel so sorry for them when they only get a little handful, you know, and then you want to feed them more, but you can't.
And they're
yeah.
cute.
they're cute and they beg very well. They're much different than horses in the fact that they're going to constantly stay begging you all the time as long as they're seeing what food's going around. It is hard. But to me, I mean, I guess in the UK they've just done this new system of animal abuse. They actually will find somebody guilty of animal abuse for having an animal that's too heavy. So, and they've gone through a whole scoring system for body weight because there's so many ponies that are grossly obese and lead to laminitis. So they're saying, you know, everybody needs to be aware of this disorder, and ponies have been survivalists for, you know, for centuries to survive on nothing, so quit feeding them so much. So
yeah.
we try to keep ours a little bit more on the athletic side of things and not, you know, feed them a ton of food. So...
Now, you know, there's a Dale system. I'm getting off that topic before Jamie busts my chops.
No, you can't have a pony. You cannot have a Dale's pony. It is not an option for you because there is no way you will be able to resist that cute little black face sticking. Oh, but I'm so hungry, Daddy. Daddy,
yep.
feed me. You can't
me
have
and Frankie
one.
Can get together with our ponies and have little fat sessions.
That meeting. You have to go to meetings.
Yes.
We'll need a 12-step program. Hey, so I see there's a Dale's Pony Society of America, but yet is the registry still out of England?
Yes, the main registry for the home stud book is in England. There is a society here in the States. They do also register ponies, but they register from last what I heard, because I'm a member of the English Society. I don't want to keep with the rare breed. I don't feel like we should separate things that are so easily to keep intact. We need to keep all the bloodlines kind of together.
Especially with so few of them, I think you're right. It's not like there's hundreds of thousands of them and you have a reason to break it up.
Right. And I mean, you know, we're looking at right now, I think the registry in England's registering around 130 worldwide. A year as far as foals go. So I just found it, to me, I wanted to help this breed survive outside of the UK in case there was any natural disaster. They did this with the Lipizzans after World War II. You need a place to go back to, you know, kind of replenish things should something happen. And I wanted my ponies always to stay in that main stud book so that they could at any time be accepted back as regular UK citizens. So the association here is recognized. They issue their own papers, whereas the European horses get passports. So, there is a society here, and that's what they're here for. They do register, and they do take inquiries. So.
Jennifer, did you have – I thought Jennifer had a question. She was going to go next.
Oh, okay.
So you have the United States Registry, the UK Registry. So if you have a foal born in the U.S. that is not of parents registered in the U.K., is it not eligible to be registered in the U.K. Registry, or there's just lots of flaming hoops to jump through?
The last, and they've been kind of discussing this for the last couple
of
years.
Trying to figure out how to make it work best, yeah.
Yeah, the last thing that I heard is if the parents are U.S. registered, the foal has to be in the U.S. book.
Okay.
I don't know how that would change because there are different, you know, the European system's a little bit different,
mm-hmm.
and they have to go by a main government issue
mm-hmm.
by DEFRA. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know that they could change that up too
so the,
much.
The standard or the requirements for registration within the two separate registries are sufficiently different that it wouldn't be a simple task to just mash them all back together again. That wouldn't work because the criterion are so different. So when you take a Dale's Pony, I'm assuming there are Dale's Pony shows, yes?
Not here in the States. We do.
Really?
Because
there's too few.
Even,
okay.
Yeah, there's so few. And also, you know, we get together with a lot of the other UK breeds that are small in this country. And
mm-hmm.
in the UK, they have this as well. They have what they call the Mountain and Moorland shows. So each breed society in the UK has their own shows, but they also have this mixed mountain and moorland where you have different breeds, the large ponies competing against each other and the small ponies competing against each other. And we're starting classes like that here in the States. So there are several shows throughout the year. I think right now we're probably up to about 8 shows.
Would you see United States and UK ponies competing each other potentially, since it's new, at that type of show in the U.S.? Or haven't they gotten that far yet?
No, they haven't really gotten that far. I mean, to some degree, I would, you know, the ponies that have been imported are competing against the ones that are bred here.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we're ever going to get to the point where we can exchange back and forth. The U.K. Society, there's a National Pony Society of England.
Mm-hmm.
They started an umbrella branch here in the States, and it's kind of been a rocky road with a lot of people having some disagreements how things should run. So it hasn't really started on a huge scale. They're just kind of starting in a show-by-show basis and, you know, everybody trying to back it financially because it's such a small group to begin with all these
yeah.
rare breeds of ponies.
Huh. Interesting
well,
stuff.
Thank you so much. This has been fun. The only problem I have with Dale's ponies is there's so few of them, they're expensive, and I can't afford one yet.
Yeah, we're getting to the point where it's a little bit more manageable. I think the problem is that a lot of us, what happened was with the ponies that came over in the first couple of groups were all related. So the rest of us that are just starting to bring over new lines, we're still importing. I mean, we've been importing for the last 5 or 6 years. I've tried to manage my farm where we are kind of by ourselves. I don't have to look to anybody else for outside breeding. We've bought different bloodlines completely from anyone else, so we can kind of do our own thing. But for the most part, the prices have come down pretty reasonably in the last couple of years. So,
all right, well, I'm going to keep my eyes open because despite what Jamie says, Jennifer is the one that keeps me from feeding my animals too much. See, so as long as Jennifer's around, I'm okay. If Jennifer's not around, my cat, my dog, and my pony will be a beast. That'd just be the way it is. But she's still here, so she's still keeping an eye on me. This is Anna Hill from Baroque Farm, and we posted a link to that in our Facebook page, and we'll put it in our show notes as well. Go take a look at the pictures. They are fun to look at. And she has some great pictures of them in the air, and Jennifer posted the one there. It's getting all kinds of comments already. So that's thank you so much, Anna, for being with us. That's BaroqueFarm.com.
Thank you guys for having us.
All right, there we go. There's my next pony. All I need is a $10,000 pony and a $5,000 carriage and a $3,000 harness. By the way, if anybody wants to do, you know, like the tremendously generous Ann Svensson today, if you want to send me an email that says gifts to my favorite host, with directions of where to pick up my pony cart and harness, that'd be terrific.
I went on Dream Horse and found you one, actually. And it's a woman that, if you just go on Dream Horse and search for Dale's Pony, she is getting out of the Dale's Pony business and has one, and she wants $4,000 or no reasonable offer is refused. She says she's going back to paint.
You think 25
you
bucks?
You could try. I don't know if that would be considered reasonable, but it's worth a shot.
Okay. Well, thank you. Keep that. Send me a link to that one, by the way. All right, everybody. All right, everybody. We're going to do you want to do the song, or do you want to just go right to Black Beauty today with the time issue?
Song. Let's go
song?
To the song.
Okay. All right. Well, this song I sort of had, you know, Anne said she was putting up hay over the weekend there in Sweden, and I know I talked to a couple people here in the United States that were doing hay this weekend, and it's just hey, hey, hey all the time right now. And so I thought it was time for this.
So far from winter, the grass is green. Hard to imagine that we will need to feed the horses. They're gonna need it when snow's on the ground. Hay in time, hay in time. Making hay while the sun shines. Sweating bullets, I swear it's 99. Calling all your favorites, cause it's hay in time. Call all your friends, and we'll drink a cold one when the day ends. And when we stack that final bale, we'll celebrate and know we earned that ale. Hay in time, hay in time. Making hay while the sun shines. Sweating bullets, I swear it's 99. Calling all your favors, cause it's hay in time. If you are a farmer, you know it won't make you rich. It's hard work, that's no lie. But the satisfaction at the end of days like this, no amount of money can buy.
Right. It always seems like when you need to take up hay, it's 99 degrees and humid as could be. That happens every year. You're listening to Horses in the Morning, brought to you today by Omega Alpha. And I am Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings and Coach Jen over there in the producer chair. Well, the Black Beauty reading today, which Jamie is now warming up her vocals for, is brought to you by Pocket Stable. You know, how you keep track of your horse's information, like farrier visits and shots. Do you have a box full of receipts and maybe notes everywhere, and the next time they need done, you're going, I don't remember when that is, sort of like I do with my haircut every month. Well, you have an easy way to keep track of that now if you have an iPhone, and that easy way is Pocket Stable. Just get on to the App Store and look up Pocket Stable. It costs you $3.99, and you're going to be able to keep track of everything about your farm and your horses, when the vaccines are due, worming, farrier, dentist visits, all that stuff. I know Jamie uses this for her farm over there in, wonder, does it keep track of the weekly dust intake from Habubis? Just checking. Jamie, are you there?
Yes, I'm right here. Sorry. It doesn't keep track of the dust. No.
No, okay. Just checking. Just checking.
My pool does that.
We need a picture of your pool looking like a mud hole. And you can find it in your app store, or you can visit them at pocketstable.com. Okay. Is this?
I'm ready.
Your book's open?
My book is open. However, I've got to let everybody know that this chapter is...
Oh, wait a minute. Go ahead.
This chapter is very long. It's chapter 24, The Lady Anne. And so I'm going to have to make this a two-parter. We'll follow up with the second half of Lady Anne tomorrow.
So do I have time to go get breakfast and everything while you're reading? Is that what you're saying?
You will sit in your chair and you will pay attention.
This is a dramatic reading by Jamie Jennings of the English classic Black Beauty by Anna Sewell.
Early in the spring, Lord W. and part of his family went up to London and took York with them. I and Ginger and some other horses were left at home for use, and the head groom was left in charge. The Lady Harriet, who remained at the Hall, was a great invalid and never went out in the carriage, and the Lady Anne preferred riding on horseback with her brother or cousins. She was a perfect horsewoman and as gay and gentle as she was beautiful. She chose me for her horse and named me Black Auster. I enjoyed these rides very much in the clear, cold air, sometimes with Ginger, sometimes with Lizzie. This Lizzie was a bright bay mare, almost thoroughbred, and a great favorite with the gentlemen on account of her fine action and lively spirit. But Ginger, who knew more of her than I did, told me she was rather nervous. There was a gentleman by the name of Blanter staying at the Hall, and he always rode Lizzie and praised her so much that one day Lady Anne ordered the side saddle to be put on her and the other saddle on me. When we came to the door, the gentleman seemed very uneasy. "How is this?" he said. "Are you tired of your good Black Auster?" "Oh, no, not at all," she replied, "but I am amiable enough to let you ride him for once, and I will try your charming Lizzie. You must confess that in size and appearance, she is far more like a lady's horse than my favorite." "Do let me advise you not to mount her," he said. "She is a charming creature, but she is too nervous for a lady. I assure you she is not perfectly safe, and let me beg you to have the saddle changed." "My dear cousin," said Lady Anne, laughing, "pray do not trouble your good, careful head about me. I have been a horsewoman since I was a baby, and have followed the hounds a great many times. Though I know you do not approve of ladies hunting, but that is still the fact, and I intend to try this Lizzie that all you gentlemen are so fond of. So please help me to mount like a good friend as you are." There was no more to be said, and he carefully placed her in the saddle, looked at the curb and the bit, gave the reins gently into her hand, and then mounted me. Just as we were moving off, a footman came out with a slip of paper and a message from the Lady Harriet. Would they ask this question for her at Dr. Ashley's and bring the answer? The village was about a mile off, and the doctor's house was the last in it. We went along gaily enough until we came to his gate. There was a short drive up to the house between the tall evergreens. Blanter alighted to the gate and was going to open it for the Lady Anne, but she said, "I will wait for you here, and you can just hang Auster's reins on the gate." He looked at her doubtfully. "I will not be 5 minutes," he said. "Oh, do not hurry yourself. Lizzie and I shall not run away from you." He hung my reins on one of the iron spikes and was soon hidden amongst the trees. Lizzie was standing quietly by the side of the road a few paces off with her back to me. My young mistress was sitting easily with a loose rein, humming a little song. I listened to my rider's footsteps until they reached the house and heard him knock at the door. There was a meadow on the opposite side of the road and the gate which stood open, and some cart horses and several young colts came trotting out in a very disorderly manner, whilst a boy behind them was cracking a great whip. The colts were wild and frolicsome, and one of them bolted across the road and blundered up against Lizzie's hind legs. And whether it was the stupid colt or the loud cracking of the whip or both together, I cannot say, but she gave a violent kick and dashed off into a headlong gallop. It was so sudden that Lady Anne was nearly unseated, but she soon recovered herself. I gave a loud, shrill neigh for help. Again and again I neighed, pawing the ground impatiently and tossing my head to get the rein loose. I had not long to wait. Blanter came running to the gate and looked anxiously about, and just caught sight of the flying figure now far away on the road. In an instant, he sprang into the saddle. I needed no whip or spur, for I was as eager as my rider. He saw it, and giving me a free rein and leaning a little forward, we dashed after them. For about a mile and a half, the road ran straight and then bent to the right, after which it divided into two roads. Long before we came to the bend, she was out of sight. Which way had she turned? A woman was standing at her garden gate, shading her eyes with her hand and looking eagerly up the road. Scarcely drawing the rein up, Blanchard said, "Which way?" "To the right," cried the woman, pointing with her hand, and away we went up the right-hand road. For then, in a moment, we caught sight of her, and another bend she was hidden again. Several times we caught glimpses and then lost them. We scarcely seemed to gain ground upon them at all. An old road mender was standing near a heap of stones, his shovel dropped and his hands raised. As we came near, he made a sign to speak. Blanchard drew the rein a little. To the common, sir, she has turned off there." I knew this common very well, for it was most part very uneven ground, covered with heather and dark green furzy bushes, with here and there a scrubby old thorn tree, and there were also very open spaces of fine short grass with anthills and mold everywhere, the worst place I ever knew for a headlong gallop. And that is part one of chapter 24, The Lady Anne, to be continued,
I have to say that that was almost an exciting chapter.
Yay! I told you you'd like this book. Okay, at least that chapter.
Oh, I guess I was just going to qualify that. You left us in suspense. Perfect place to cut it there, Jamie. Perfect place.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Makes me almost want to listen to tomorrow's.
Almost, but not quite.
It does. Awesome. That was kind of an exciting chapter, the speedy chase. I didn't know we were going to have a chase scene, sort of 1800 style.
It was 1800 style chase scene. I'm telling you, there was a crash and a burn and then, you know, a runoff and then a chase. It's so exciting.
Well, it's good because I think Tom was getting bored with this whole thing. He didn't have any, you know, carnage to report on. We haven't had a carnage report in a while. So, come it up, Tom. I have a feeling. I have a feeling you're going to be back in business again. Hey, we have some announcements to make here on the Horse Radio Network, and I thought we would do that today. We're going to be making some changes. There's actually quite a few changes going to be happening. You know, as things like the Horse Radio Network grow, we have to grow with them, one of the ways we do that, obviously, is new shows, but also is to rearrange some of the shows that we currently have. So Jamie will be no longer with us and not allowed to finish tomorrow.
I was going to say, it sounds like you're firing me. Am I getting fired right now on the air? I mean, because that is ballsy, my friend, because I've been fired from radio jobs and never on the air, usually on a Friday afternoon.
You know, I didn't want to wait till Friday, so we thought Monday is perfect day. No, actually, Jamie's not going anywhere. She'll be here tomorrow. So these couple of the exciting changes that we're going to make. First of all, is that we have a new show coming out, and Chris, that does the eventing and dressage and jumping radio shows, is bringing a new show to air, and we want to tell you about that. We had a couple minutes to catch up with Chris the other day. So we thought we would share that recording that we did with her about her new show. And I can honestly say that we're all very excited about this. And we'll talk a little bit about it after we talk to Chris. Well, hi, Chris. And it's good to talk to you this morning. And you have a very exciting announcement for us today. So tell us about it.
I do, Glenn. Good morning, Glenn. Good morning, Jamie.
Morning.
I wanted just to have the opportunity to join you and share with you this exciting news, a brand new show on the Horse Radio Network. We're calling Equestrian Legends, and it is listening to the legends in their own voice, some of the greatest horsemen and women, and not just in the popular sports, Glenn and Jamie, but also in all aspects of the horse world and, of course, around the world, because we have listeners around the world. We also have some international riders that have been absolute legends in their own lifetime, some of them, you know, in their 80s and 90s. So some marvelous stories to share with you. And we're taking a very different perspective here to what we normally do. You know, often when we talk to people, we talk about what's happening with them now, their competitions, their horses, their training, and those kinds of things. that we cover regularly on the discipline shows. But this we're going to do differently. We're going to get more up close and personal. We're going to hear about their philosophies and their morals, the things that have inspired them, and really much more sort of intimate life stories about these personalities, of course, who have become legends in their own lifetime.
You know, Jamie, the reason I'm so excited about this show from the Horse Radio Network point of view is this is, with most of these people, there is no audio recordings of them. They retired 20, 30 years ago. There's interviews that they've done for magazines and newspapers, but there's no audio of them talking in their own voice. So for many of them, this is going to be one of the very few audio records there is out there of their life. So it really becomes a historical archive of some of the greatest people in the horse world that, to be honest, when you're 91, you're not going to be here a whole lot longer.
Right.
So, you know, we're getting them recorded, we're getting them down before they do leave us so that you do get to hear their voice. You know, at some point, 20 years down the road, you'll still be able to listen to this audio file and you'll be able to hear their voice, which is something that if we didn't do this and we didn't have this historical archive, it wouldn't be possible.
Well, and I think this is an amazing idea, an amazing show. And one of my favorite things when I was in Atlanta was, I'm a big fan of baseball, and there was a guy that tried to interview every living Hall of Famer, you know, that was still alive. And these interviews, he called them Legends of the Game, and he would interview one, and it was just fascinating, even if you don't know who these people are, to be able to like kind of kick through their life and find out. I just think that stuff like that is fantastic. So, Chris, give us some examples of people you will be talking to, and kind of the format for the show. Is it one guest a show? Is it 1 hour? Is it? I mean, I'm sure you could talk to them for hours about all of this, but kind of give us a little bit of an outline and a list of people that you would like, dream interviews you would like to talk to.
Well, the outline is going to be very simple format. It's going to be the same format every 2 weeks. We're going to have two a month that we're going to be releasing here, and they're going to take the same formula that I will I will present an little introduction to them, which will outline their life and their career highlights, if you will, and introduce you to them to the audience. And then we get straight into the interview. It's uninterrupted. There's no commercial interludes in it whatsoever. We just go straight through. And the runtime can be anything from 20, 25 minutes, 30 minutes to 60 minutes. I've actually got some already recorded that have gone just over the hour, but that was exceptional because that was a very interesting personality. Kathy Kushner, of course, former U.S. show jumping team member years ago, one of my heroes back in the 60s. I can remember meeting Kathy in Europe when she was on the team with George Morris, Frank Chapeau, and Bill Steinkraus. And in fact, all of those three are on the show. They will be on the show. And I've also got interviews with Raimondo and Piero D'Inzeo, which some of our listeners may well remember. They were heroes and they were the stars of show jumping in Italy back in the 50s and 60s. And I can remember when I worked in Italy, lived in Italy for some time, and I watched Raimondo riding one horse after the other in the arena, just used to get on one after the other, amazing horsemen. And they were just classics. I mean, they followed the Caprilli style, Jamie, which you'll be familiar with, and they perpetuated that Caprilli style and became icons in their own lifetime, and we have those translated for us.
They can't be young.
No, they're not. In fact, one is 89 and the other is 91.
Wow.
So absolutely marvelous. And then we have eventing legends such as Denny Emerson, of course, is well known to us here on the Horse Radio Network, and Jimmy Wofford, because although they may not be as senior as some of the others I've mentioned, of course, Bill Steinkraus.
They're old as hell, and they're awesome.
they're up there. But then, of course, Bill Steinkraus, he is also in his late 80s, now mid-80s, I think, another absolute legend. He's going to kick off the new show.
And actually, that's up there now. If you go to equestrianlegends.com, you can listen to the first show. It's there with Bill. And it was I've gotten to hear these interviews that she's gotten done ahead of time here, and it just is an incredible look. There is just, and I, you know, I'm not just saying this because I'm a radio guy and have the Horse Radio Network. There is nothing, you can read interviews all you want. there is nothing like hearing them answer the questions in their own voice.
Yeah, and the fun thing about these, Jamie, to your point, is the style of the show is we're getting to talk about their philosophies, you know, and what shaped their careers, not so much when they came first, second, and third, but it's much more the other dimensions to them, you know, their other interests out of the saddle. And it's a very, you know, intimate profile of these people. And as I said, some of them are really up there in years, and some of them grew up, you know, during World War One at the time of prohibition and segregation. So it, you know, just really puts it all in context that these are unique stories. And for many of them, they've been out of the public limelight for so long that they were reluctant to step back up to the microphone.
Yeah, she had to work to get some of these interviews.
Well, Chris, I would imagine so, obviously, but, you know, how, as a journalist and as a broadcaster, how exciting is this for you to be the vehicle to bring this information to people?
It is, Jamie. It really is exciting. It gives, you know, the whole Horse Radio Network, it gives it a new dimension to be able to do this. You know, it adds to our stable of shows. And it shows the power of radio, to your point, Glenn, the power of radio, the power of the voice, that you may read about these people and you can see black and white photos of them in magazines and you can hear them referenced, but to actually hear their voice is wonderful. And certainly for some of these people that, you know, I grew up with admiring, it's a wonderful opportunity. It's a thrill for me because so many of them I knew of, I had perhaps met in the past, but maybe watched, and it was maybe before the days that I got into journalism, so I was still actively, you know, working around horses, so I never actually connected with them in the way that this new show enables me to connect with them. So, yes, it is a thrill to do this.
Okay, so it begs the question, has anybody or would anybody make you, and I know you're like major professional at this, and you know, you're not like me who gets all silly and giddy and girly talking to people, but has anybody made you nervous, or are you nervous to talk to anybody?
I thought there was one that you told me.
No, I'm not. I'm not nervous. I get excited about talking to them, and because I can relate to them. Not that I'm not as old as some of them, of course, but I can relate to their era. And,
I know,
you know,
but aren't you afraid of screwing up and saying, I mean, I know I do. I get scared to say something wrong and give any detail wrong or something like that. And so I'm like, oh, gosh, please don't mess this one up. I can't mess this one up. I got to get all my facts straight. Got to get the information right. And then so that makes me nervous and I make myself nervous. But you don't ever get that ever?
No, I look forward to talking to them.
Oh, you're so tough.
No, I don't know. I think it's just. No, I think it's just the excitement of having this conversation,
yeah,
and talking to some of these people. It's just thrilling, and I'm there, you know, thinking, gosh, this is a wonderful conversation. When Bill Steinkraus is talking about some of the things that he has done in his life and, you know, the other dimensions to his life, and Kathy Kushner, and, you know, it's just thrilling, and listening to the Dinzeo brothers, and it's just so much fun to hear their lives that, yeah, I get excited. I also don't get nervous. I just, and I've never been kind of starstruck like that because I just seem to get into it, immerse myself into it, and I'm enjoying it so much. You know, there's a passion for the subject that I guess, you know, that's what overrides. And my enthusiasm for having that conversation, I think that's why.
And I'm so excited about this show, and I think it's going to be awesome, and I don't want to downplay that, but I'm going to tell you, you would be nervous if you were standing next to Leonardo DiCaprio at a bar. Or would, I mean, some of us trip all over ourselves and spit on him because we're just so freaked out that we're standing next to Leonardo DiCaprio at a bar. You'd probably be the one woman be like, hello, Leo. How are you?
You know, she probably wouldn't so much with him, but she maybe with one of the older stars. I'm trying to think who, you know, who was James Bond there for a while?
Sean Connery.
Yeah, but so would you get nervous if you're standing?
No, not at all. I'd love to talk to him. He has a great voice. but you know what? You know right. Who I would enjoy. I would really like. Oh God, this is so cool. If you sat me around Billie Jean King, Margaret Court,
yes.
Chris Evert, and Martina Navratilova, if you put me in that group, I would sit back and go, wow, this is so cool.
Okay, we found one.
Yeah, we. I wouldn't be nervous.
I'd just be excited. That would be so cool. So could you set that up for me, Jamie?
Yeah, we'll make a call. I'll work on it.
Yeah, yeah, make some calls for you.
All right.
Well, this is great. It's out now at EquestrianLegends.com. It's going to come out the 1st and the 15th of the month. The first one is there for you to take a look at. And as Chris said, she'll be covering all aspects of the horse world, not just jumping or dressage, or, you know, there'll be some Western thrown in there, some natural horsemanship, just horsemen, just horse people, I should say, horsemen and women.
Good job, Chris.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. Looking forward to it.
All right. Good luck with it. Well, there it is. It's EquestrianLegends.com. And actually, Randy Thompson just posted on our Facebook page, now listening to Chris talking about the new Equestrian Legends radio show. I heard the first interview with Stein Krause. Since I knew him, I loved it. I saw a side to him I had not seen before. Thanks, Chris. So thank you, Randy, for posting that. You can find that at EquestrianLegends.com. And some of the other changes that are coming up on the Horse Radio Network right now are where one of the shows is going to be merged into another show. The Tack and Habit radio show that Helene and I do about products every week. We review a couple of products every week. We are actually merging into the Stable Scoop show. So Tack and Habit's going to become a segment on the Stable Scoop radio show. And part of the reason for that is time. You know, I'm getting kind of busy. And so we thought that that would be a way we could continue doing the reviews of products, but just do them as part of the Stable Scoop show. So this week coming up will be the last Tack and Habit show that we do.
Yeah. So not the last one. It's you're going to make a segment on Stable Scoop.
Right.
Out of the Tack and Habit show. So don't get sad. It's not the last one. It's just going to be, you're just going to merge two wonderful things.
That's correct. That's what we're going to do. Yeah. And Stable Scoop has a much, much bigger audience anyway. So now more people from the Stable Scoop side can enjoy us chatting about products. We'll do one product review a week on Stable Scoop. Also, I think we mentioned this last week, Horse Tip Daily. My wife, Jennifer, is taking over that. Coach Jen will be doing Horse Tip Daily. She started last week, and she's doing a terrific job over there. So she'll be running the ship at Horse Tip Daily, and we're very happy about that.
By the way, I'm now officially calling her Coach Jen all the time.
You know, Jennifer H. just didn't do much. And everybody that knows her as Coach Jen because she's been all their coaches. You know, she's coached them all. So, you know, so that's – and she has this sign above her door that says Coach. And, you know, so it became Coach Jen. And Helena's always called her Coach Jen because she was Helena's coach too. So Coach Jen is just kind of sticking, I guess. So she's taking over Horse Tip Daily. You want to check it out over there. I did almost 500 episodes. I did my turn at Horse Tip Daily. Now it's her turn to make it better. And one of the other things coming up is, and we're going to make more announcements on this next week, it'll become official, but there will be a driving radio show, and I'll be doing that with my new friend, Dr. Wendy Ying. Of course, we've heard Wendy on here. She has helped Jamie with her doggy, and she has been on a number of our shows now. She's so much fun, and she has been so much fun to work on this project with. We're so excited to get the driving radio show going. It's being supported by the American Driving Society, and several other sponsors have come on board already, and the show's not even off the ground yet. We do have the website at drivingradioshow.com, and the first welcome episode is there. You can hear us telling about what's going to be coming up. So if you're at all interested in the world of driving, you're going to have your own show. It's going to be a weekly show, just like the eventing and dressage show are. So
it's about time you... It's time you did that. I mean, it's ridiculous that you have been on all these shows that have nothing to do with driving and your passion is driving. So that's very exciting. I'm glad you started that. And I might actually listen every once in a while.
I've had to suffer through the dressage show. No, I'm just kidding. But but no, I'm very excited. When I started the first show with Helena, I said, Helena, one of the shows I'm going to do someday is a driving radio show because that's where my passion lies. And, of course, you know, Horses in the Morning is so much fun in Stable Scoop because we talk about everything in the horse world. But I drive, you know, so I'm looking forward to doing that show with Wendy. One of the things we've always done, and this relates back to not firing Jamie. By the way, Liam, don't worry. Liam posted on there that that getting sacked on the air is harsh, but she hasn't been sacked. She's not going anywhere. So I hope you didn't see what I wrote back. We are really excited about this, and we're going to be making formal announcements. We'll have Wendy on the show next week to talk a little bit about it. I've always waited to do a show until I had the right hosts, and the hosts have always sort of found us. And so, you know, we weren't going to do Horses in the Morning until we had the right host, and then you popped in. So Wendy, I believe, is the right host for the Driving Radio Show, and I think you'd probably agree with that, having talked to her now a few times.
She's awesome, and I want to thank her because the Shen Calmer has saved my dog. So she's looking better. She's feeling better. Even Chad last night said that the Basset Hound looks a lot better. So I got to tell her she's amazing. She knows what she's talking about, and I think she's going to be awesome because the woman has enthusiasm, and that's what it takes to do something like this. So I'm excited for you guys both, and I think it's going to be a great show.
Good. Thank you. We'll talk more about that next week. You can actually go listen to that first episode, though, at drivingradioshow.com. All right, next up is we have a caller on the line. I think it's our friend Lindsay. Good morning, Lindsay. Lindsay, are
Hi,
you there?
Ben. I am. Good morning.
Okay. Good morning. Hey, I think you're calling to ball me out, aren't you?
No.
Well, you're calling to talk about something that's coming up, and I'm not going to be there. And you bawled me out about the other day, and I figured you wanted to embarrass me on the air. And
I'm very upset that you're not going to be there.
All right, tell us what's coming up.
The second Riders for Helmets Helmet Safety Symposium is going to be held at the Theater Room in the Kentucky Horse Park, July 23rd, Saturday, July 23rd. So it's 2 weeks, a week this Saturday.
I was at the first one you held in Wellington last year, and it was so informational and so educational. I'm excited that you're doing it again, and I assume you're bringing experts in from around the medical world and the helmet world and all of that again?
We are. We have some fantastic speakers. We have a sports psychology consultant, Tanya Johnston, who has presented at various national conferences. She's coming in to talk about the psyche, you know, of what prevents riders from wearing a helmet, which I think is going to be fantastic. We've got a special, very special video presentation by U.S. Olympian Courtney King Dye. And obviously it was because of Courtney's accident that the Riders for Helmets campaign was founded. We have various other speakers coming in. We have Mary Miller Jordan, who competes in reining, and also she competes in the Supreme Mustang Makeovers, and she's going to talk about the transition from cowboy hats to cowboy helmets. So that's going to be a great talk. We have John Long, the CEO of USIF, who's going to be talking about rule changes and the way forward with regards to wearing helmets. Just some really, really fantastic speakers, and the day's going to run from about 8:30 in the morning until about 5 p.m. And it is open to the public. The one down in Florida was invitation only, but this one is open to the public, and with it being the Pony Club National Championships that same weekend, we're really hoping for a fantastic turnout. And we are even doing a very special equestrian safety fashion show at lunchtime, which I can't wait for. That's going to be great.
Hmm. Very cool. So is it free? Is it, you said it's open to the public. Is it free? And how do people find out more?
It's free. Admission, like I say, it's Saturday, July 23rd at the Kentucky Horse Park from about 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. in the theater room. To find out more, you can go to www.riders4helmets.com. And the agenda, more symposium information is all available on there on the Helmet Safety Symposium page. And I just think it's going to be fantastic. So it's free admission, and we really hope a lot of people in the Lexington area will turn out and listen to the excellent presentations on this. But if people can't attend, we are going to be videoing it so people can watch it on the Riders for Helmets YouTube channel after the event.
Well, thank you, Lindsay. We're running out of time here today because I blabbed too long, but we will definitely post a link to that. And thank you so much again. You know that Jamie and I are both big supporters of wearing helmets. And thank you so much again for all of your volunteer efforts for the Riders for Helmets. campaign and all of the time that you put into this.
No problem. Thank you guys so much for allowing me on to talk about it.
All right, Lindsay, you
Absolutely.
Have a great day.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
She does. She volunteers and does all of that out of the goodness of her heart to save people's heads, you know? Got to give her credit for that. Well, thank you, everybody, for being with us today. Be sure to check out all the shows, now 9 of them, on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. You can also follow us on Facebook. Just search for Horses in the Morning. A lot of conversation going on in there today. And also, we are on Twitter at Horse Radio.
And if you missed a live show, listen to recorded versions on our website, affiliate websites, iTunes. Don't forget, later on this week, second edition of the Woman's Hope series, Madeline Pickens. That's right, Madeline Pickens, the Mustang woman, is going to be on Thursday and Friday. And I don't even know what tomorrow will bring. Glenn, do you?
It'll bring another guest and more fun here on Horses in the Morning.
All right, so everybody, please stay. Stay neuter and geld.
And wear your helmet.
Glenn and Jen.